What's up, listeners? Thanks for tuning in. I just wanted to let you know that this episode and all of our past recordings can be found on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Also, be sure to follow us on TikTok, Twitter, and Instagram. You can find us by searching at Settle Down Media on all three platforms. Thanks again, and enjoy episode 28 of In the End Zone. Peace.
What's up, brothers?
That was such a good intro, Keaton.
No, it's second time's the charm, right? Second time's the charm. What's up, guys?
Are we redoing this, or are we gone?
I don't know. My cat. Like, there's a cat.
How was your weekend? How was your weekend? How was your week?
It was good. It was good. Week was good. Our system that we do transactions on crashed fully, like company-wide, right in the middle of rush hour. And so we had it was weird. It was just really weird to, like, tell people, oh, yeah. We basically just got the equivalent of just, like, hacked. Like, our whole system just crashed, and we couldn't process transactions, couldn't do anything, and it was just awkward.
So what'd you do?
But we have, like, a system. We do, like, we can do offline transactions, but it has to be ultra-specific. So
you have, like, a backup system. We're still able to
be, kinda, yeah.
That's fair.
But, you know, after that, I booked a flight, just like Taylor Swift, and got my way out of Dodge. And now I'm sitting on a boat in New York, as you can see by my very photorealistic and canonically correct background with the actual Twin Towers. And those are real. Look, I'm holding it up.
So Keaton, how is your setup able to connect to, like, the internet and everything? How can we see you and hear you so perfectly? And there are no waves. I don't hear any waves or seagulls or anything.
So
what's going on, you guys, man? Like, the noise cancellation is just that good.
So have you guys heard of Jefe Bezos? So he's got a yacht, and he let me borrow it just because, I helped him to do some business transactions last week for his business. I think it's called, like, Amazon. And anyway, so he let me use his yacht, and it's, the full thing is, like, soundproof and windproof. It's very wind resistant. You know, it's kind of like a windbreaker.
Yeah. It's got Wi-Fi too.
It does have Wi-Fi, and it's actually Ethernet. It's got Ethernet landline connectivity.
Are you also able to watch some S-Fin on there as well?
No, Amazon Prime.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Not S-Fin.
Amazon has live sports too, so yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, shout out Heffy. And how was your week?
Yeah, no, it was good. My mom wanted me home for Easter for a little bit, so went home for Easter. It was my first time coming home for Easter in years, honestly. So did that. It was a good time. Worked on some more classes, and this week is going to be a grind for more grinding on the classes, because next week is the start of my month-long classes I have to take for fire investigation classes 1A, 1B, and 1C. And I'll be staying in a hotel for a month, which will be so fun. So, yeah.
Do they have pizza at the hotel?
I hope.
I'm sure they'll have Coca-Cola, vending machines, maybe in the lobby.
Spare
pepperonis,
ma'am.
I'm bringing my own Coca-Cola with me, okay?
I don't need them. You'll for sure have something.
Mm-hmm. Don't drop that duffel bag. It's full of Coke.
Sir, this duffel bag is 60 pounds. Why is it so heavy? I've got so much Coke in this bag. Yeah. Six packs of 30 Coca-Colas.
Yeah.
God.
Zach, how are you doing, brother?
Good, man. Been pretty solid. I missed my little Pookie Bear, so in the meantime, I've just been making content for the pod and for my lifting page as well. So if you guys want to follow that, it's voicing.lifts. And just been chilling. Hit lakes today. Honestly, yeah. I'm kind of fried from it, so my brain is a little mush.
But other than that, everyone, go give his account a follow if you guys haven't already. It's great stuff if you're trying to go into the gym, if you're new to it. He's got great exercises, great workouts while you're in the gym, and great motivational quotes as well to keep your day going and just keep thriving throughout the day, you know? Mm-hmm. So go give it a follow.
I appreciate it.
Yeah.
I appreciate it. But now for what we've been waiting for, football talk.
The flag football.
It's all about the balls with you people.
It's all about the football with you people.
It's about the rule changes.
It's never how are you. It's how is in the end zone. Yeah. Anyways, Keaton, go for it, brother. I know that you have a topic that you want to talk about.
Yeah. Just a little sad news to start off, you know, a decent week of football. Former Bills quarterback, Vontae Davis, brother of possible Hall of Famer Vernon Davis. He's a cornerback, age 35. He was found dead in his grandmother's house. I believe it was in Miami, which it was. Randomly dropped. The cause of death is still being investigated. Early reports are saying there's no foul play involved. So more than likely it's something just internal that caused this. But really sad. I mean, obviously 35 years old, you know, played in the NFL for quite some time. Pretty good. Had four Pro Bowl selections or three.
Yeah, he was really good. He had a crazy retirement, by the way, too.
I was going to say, his most famous retirement.
Yeah, you were probably going to get into that, but.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, he was a great player, but his whole mantra was based off how he retired. They were getting basically the last game of his career. It was middle of the season, and his team was getting slaughtered. And he didn't come out at halftime, and then after posted a message on his Twitter basically saying, I'm retiring. Like, I'm done. Crazy. Like,
and he basically said, during halftime.
Yeah, and he was like, why have a warrior mentality if you're getting, you know, if you're just head's not in it anymore. And so, you know, pretty sad. It's just weird because, you know, we're starting to get to that age. I'm 24, I'm 23, Zach's 24, and Ant's 24. And, you know, it's only 9, 10, 11 years, you know, out of our realm. And for people to be passing like that, it is a little eye-opening. But his brother, Vernon Davis, who I mentioned, was also an NFL player. He thinks that he could have possibly passed away from heat exhaustion or dehydration caused to a session in the sauna. But we don't really know. He was found dead inside his gym near the sauna, so that's entirely possible. He just maybe passed out in there or something, and that's what could have happened. But, you know, it's really sad. We probably won't know until next week, so when we find out, we'll obviously update that. But, yeah, you know.
Really sad regardless.
It is.
Just tough. Great player.
We hope that Davis sad moment. Family the best.
Yep, same. Not they're listening, but.
No, I got Vernon on speed dial, actually. He played for the Niners, so I know him like that.
Now on to less depressing topics, which overall, it's all sad.
Unless you're a Bills fan. And this whole week has been depressing for you.
Yeah. This whole offseason has been.
Well, yeah. I would like to address the elephant in the room just right off the rip after that one.
Call me fat again, dude.
Stephon Diggs is now got traded to the Texans. Now, before I go into anything here, I put this up in our chat on what the trade was for. And the trade, So the trade was the Bills traded Stephon Diggs, a 2024 sixth round pick and a 2025 fifth round pick to the Texans for a 2025 second round pick. So before we get into anything on like how the Texans are going to do or the Bills are going to do, how this will affect both teams, what do we think about the trade itself? Zach?
Good trade.
Dude, honestly, I kind of like it for both sides. I'm not going to lie.
Okay.
Now, I will say this. I don't really know what the Bills are doing. You just trade one of your best players, and you've gotten rid of a ton of defensive players in this whole offseason. So I'm looking at this team. I'm like, are you starting to rebuild? And this is, again, something I've talked about a lot. The teams that sign their quarterbacks to max contracts, unless you're Patrick Mahomes and you can win with basically anyone, if you sign your quarterback to a max contract, you typically do bad in the future. So I'm saying I'm a little worried for the 49ers when that gets to that point. However, we're back on to the Bills and the Texans. We'll talk about this in a little bit. The Texans scared the shit out of me. I said this before. What year was it when the Bengals went to the Super Bowl?
That was 2021. They did, because 2020 was the Niners and Chiefs, correct?
2022. Yep.
2022. Okay.
They remind me a lot of the 2022 Bengals, like almost identical. I'm a little worried about their defense. They're young. Their offensive line isn't too good. They have a ton of options everywhere on the offense now. it's really just going to be about if they can hold up for CJ Stroud and if that defense doesn't let up 30 points a game. So that's pretty cool. With the Bills, again, Ant, can you read out the trade again?
Yeah, I can. What exactly about the trade do you want me to read off? Just the whole thing?
Got. You know what? I think I can pull it up too.
It's here we go. Right here. You got it?
Yeah, I got it. So the Bills received a 2024 sixth round pick, a 2025 fifth round pick, and a 2025 second round pick. Honestly, at first glance, you're going to be like, man, Stephon Diggs for a second round pick. But if you get any player that's decent in any of those picks, which there's decent players that come out of basically any pick in the draft, let alone undrafted, you just made that trade so worthwhile. So I don't think it's a great pick a great trade for the Bills. But I also, you know, can see why they did it. He was offering not a lot to the table in the end of the season. He was also bitching a lot. He was being a baby. In the offseason, he's tweeted multiple times about, you know, oh, are you sure that Josh Allen can be this good without a wide receiver one? So you get rid of the drama in the locker room and you get rid of that contract. I like it for both sides. Again,
it also freed up a lot of cap space for
exactly,
the Bills.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I think personally that Houston won the trade just because I think they needed a wide receiver one. I think he's better than both the wide receivers they have there, although they're very good. But I think it's a win-win. I like what they're doing. I mean, again, I don't like – when I say that, I mean Houston. I don't like what the Bills are doing, but I think this trade's a win-win.
Keen, what are your thoughts?
I like it for both sides, like Zach said. I didn't look too deep into it. I was kind of a busy day at work all day, so I didn't really get to dive too much into this. But what I will say is that I'm gonna be honest. I think Nico Collins is still better. Time will tell.
We got a bet on that, actually.
We do. I don't know. I've really got nothing to say. I think this might be a hot take, but Stephon Diggs probably benefits from this in better ways than just one, because I think CJ Stroud is a better quarterback than Josh Allen.
Will be.
Is.
Not yet.
I've said it before. I think.
No, you're wrong.
Oh, okay. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. Anyway, just to point this out, Zach and I made a bet about who would finish the season better, Nico Collins or Stephon Diggs, because I personally think Nico Collins is better. And Stephon Diggs finished 13th in yards this year, with about 1,200, and seventh in receiving, or in receptions, with 107 receptions. Great year, right? However, after week 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, he did not chart a single game of 100 yards or more. That being said, though, he did have quite a few receptions in each of those. If we go to Nico Collins, though, Nico Collins is a lot more explosive, and you give him more time to develop under this offense, and I think he's far more a weapon.
He is, for sure.
He had 80 receptions, so not you know, way less, but he had 1,300 yards. And some of his games, he had 9 receptions on 9 targets for 195 yards. He had 3 games this year over 150 yards receiving, and 4 over 140. So I personally think he's better, but time will tell. And no doubt about it, though, the Texans got better. So. For sure.
That offense is stacked now. They for sure got better.
I mean, think they're the best offense in all of football now.
That's a hot take that I kind of like. Yeah, regardless, I don't know. The Stephon Diggs trade.
I want to ask you guys a question.
Regardless, was wild. I mean,
it was
like that was not something I was expecting at all.
No, I was expecting Stephon Diggs, but not Houston.
Yeah,
no, I didn't expect the trade to go the way it did. I expected him to leave, but not to.
Right.
So now, I guess, fellas, after the trade happened, you know, obviously, time's going to tell, right? And these are just predictions all around, but. Are the Texans going to be the best team now in their division?
They're definitely the best team in their division.
No question about that. Although that division's...
What about in their conference? What do you think about that?
I think I think they have the best.
Mm-hmm.
I think they have the best offense in the NFL.
They for sure have the best offense in the AFC. I don't think they're the best team. I still think the Chiefs are the team to beat. Until you can do it. I mean, really, there's only been one quarterback besides Tom Brady who's retired now to do it when it matters. Yeah. So until someone can do that, it's like
Keith. And his name's Eli Manning.
And the Chiefs game, man. That's who runs the AFC.
I agree. But
I mean, that's crazy.
Really
though.
Good. So,
I mean, I was not expecting that.
Yeah. That defense, you know what this team feels like? For my basketball fans out there, this team feels like 2022 Oklahoma City Thunder. They had a fantastic year. C.J. Stroud, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, right? Nico Collins, Jalen Williams, right? They have all these pieces that weren't really supposed to develop like this, and now they're developing into all like superstar level players. And then you go out and you add more players. A Chet Holmgren, i.e. Stephon Diggs. And I mean, shit, I think they're the premier team. I think they're, you know, last year was like, okay, this is what we could be. Now that we have the experience of being here, this is what we're going to be. And they go out and they do that. And they've had a killer offseason. I know.
They signed a defensive end from.
Yeah, Will Anderson has his dude.
No. What was his name, though? The one that they signed?
I can find it right now.
It's going to bother me. Yeah. I literally just thought about it, and then it left my brain.
Derek Barnett?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. They have a solid team in general. Their defense got better, too. The offensive line is still what bothers me, but I don't even think it was, like, horrible last year. It's not to the point where the 2022 Bengals offensive line was. That offensive line was historically bad, but this team just reminds me a lot of that. Like, their defense isn't their part of the team where they thrive with. Their offensive line is not very good, and they have weapons everywhere. Everywhere. Nico Collins, Tank Dell, and Stephon Diggs. Like, that sounds crazy.
That's three wide receiver ones. I'm sorry.
Yeah, also, think about this. 3 years ago, would we even have thought that was going to be a wide receiver core at all? Like,
no.
Let alone Stephon Diggs, those two. Tank Dell and Nico Collins, because Nico Collins is a Michigan guy, but when was he drafted? Yeah, 2021.
3 years ago? 2021, yeah.
Dude, that's crazy, man.
And there's just, it's slow. It's development. They literally are OKC. I think that is, I got to pat myself on the back. That is a great comparison.
Hold on 1 second. We have an even better question then. Are the Texans the best rebuilding team that we've seen in the last 10 years? Maybe ever?
Ever is a stretch.
Are the Texans the best? I don't know if it's a stretch, dude.
No. If they win it all this year, I would say you could definitely make the argument.
You can make the argument.
But I think, I think they're up there.
If they win.
It's early on, right?
If they win it all, they're in the argument for it. But as of right now, they are like in the last 10 years, sure. That could be an argument. Dude. But ever, that's a stretch right now. But if they do win it, then you could put that in the argument.
If Houston wins it all, are they the best team to ever rebuild? I mean, that could be a real argument. Like, what are some other teams that we could think of?
We'll save that for another time.
The Bucks recently have been decent when they got Tom Brady. They were kind of competitive, but.
No, they were good. They won out of nowhere.
Yeah, they were good.
They're like the best defense in the NFL. Good.
Yeah, they weren't like Houston. I'll say that.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of another team, though. The Bengals. The Bengals have been up there, and they got there,
depends.
But they didn't
win. It depends on what classifies as a rebuild, because if you think about it, I would say Detroit Lions.
Yeah.
I would argue the Detroit Lions.
How quickly these teams are starting to rebuild, it really starts to ponder the question, how are these franchises still even running? The ones that are horrible, the Bears, the Commanders, the teams that have been rebuilding for years. Like, it just shows how important management is in the NFL. Like, completely.
Yeah.
A good general manager can win a World Series.
Yeah.
The Cubs, the 2016 Cubs are a perfect example of that. Theo Epstein, literally came in 2 years turned that team to a championship roster, dipped, and they haven't won since.
Right.
So, goes to show.
Well, let's move on to our next topic, Anthony.
So the next topic that we have here is Rashee Rice, aka Rashee Ruggs.
Speed demon
himself.
Wide receivers and all also, black Corvettes.
And another thing to add on to this too, so on the Chiefs topic is Patrick Mahomes Sr. is facing up to 10 years in prison after the DWI felony.
Isn't that his third one or something crazy? Second, like that?
Third, something like that. Yeah.
What a bad family he has. Just in general.
I agree.
Yeah. So I guess my question for this, with all of this going down, is how do you guys think this is going to affect the Chiefs after their second Super Bowl win in a row? And do you guys think this is going to be just a huge factor in their gameplay this upcoming season?
Nope.
Not at all.
I agree. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not going to change anything. They're still the team to beat. They could have Walmart. Honestly, they could have Gale from Walmart as their wide receiver, as their running back, and they would be the favorites, in my opinion. After last year, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying that from now on until Patrick Mahomes retires, they're my favorite. Not really, but they will be up there regardless.
He'll get 3 games, 4 games, whatever. He didn't kill someone. So not to say that it wasn't dangerous. I don't know. They're still investigating.
Sure.
Yeah, that's
why. Rashee Rice came out on something. Oh yeah.
Oh, I have a whole Twitter thread. So this is the dash cam leaked after there was rumors that Rashee Rice was involved in a high speed collision on a freeway.
Viewer discretion is advised.
No one died. I think we're fine. So you can see. So there's a black limp. It was a black Lamborghini Urus, which was a rental. And then it was Rashee Rice's owned, or I guess leased, I don't know if he was making payments on it, all black Corvette Z06. You can just see him flying over in this corner right there.
God, what the hell? There were two of them. They were racing.
They were racing. And so you see the Urus is a very fast car. It's like an SUV style, so super heavy. Slams into the back of a car, does a spin. The one that took the damage was the Corvette there. Further video shows after everybody kind of getting out. They were grabbing duffel bags, and so there's rumors as to why. Maybe there was weed in the car. And then people actually slowed down once they got like a crash site pulled. And
they flee the scene?
They fled the scene. And then Rashee Rice for like multiple days was like quiet about it. And then he came out and said, today I met with Dallas PD investigators regarding Saturday's accident. I take full responsibility for my part in this matter and will continue to cooperate with the necessary authorities. I sincerely apologize to anyone impacted in Saturday's accident. And then for some reason signs
it. Bro, homie signed it like he was signing a Bill of Rights.
I know. Like why? Yo, who do I make this out to at a signing event, you know?
This is my
hold up. Let me just add another signature to the Declaration of Independence, please.
Yeah, like what? That's great.
The Declaration of Spin Dependence. Oh, here's the video. So this is what was rumored that can you guys hear that or no?
No, you have the volume down. It's fine. I don't think we need the volume.
Yeah. Basically it's them saying, "Hey, are you guys all right?" And they're running away and they're just avoiding the crash scene altogether. I don't know. And then for quite some time, Rashee Rice was quiet about it too.
Which is kind of weird.
Yeah, it was weird. He stayed very, very silent during that whole ordeal. So, you know, it is what it is, but time will tell. Some about receivers driving fast in blacked out Corvette Z06s.
Yeah.
I don't know, but then if you're an NFL receiver, do not get in that car. It is cursed. You will catch a felony. So,
Zach, you want to hit up the next topic?
Yeah. So the next one is that the Bucs signed Randy Gregory. We'll keep this pretty quick. Randy was decent for our team. He had 11 tackles, 2.5 sacks. I think it's a decent signing. It's more so of like a backup signing or just to have depth there, but I don't mind it. I didn't see us signing him regardless. He didn't have like too big of a year. So, that one doesn't bother me, but it's a decent sign for the Bucs.
Okay.
But speaking about Dallas, Ant, you told me about this one.
Ooh, I've got a big Dallas story too.
Yeah. So, Keen, did you want to start off with it? Or you want me to just go into this real quick and you add on?
it's a little off topic of what the context of this one is, so I'll let you do it.
Okay. So this one right now is a little bit of trending news happening. So basically, Dallas Mayor Eric Johnson is currently rooting for the Chiefs to relocate back to the city of Dallas. The reason, a little bit of reasoning for this is because the Chiefs owner, Clark Hunt, also lives in Dallas, and this is basically where his father founded the Chiefs back in 1959. Now, to me, the whole thing doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Having two teams in the city of Dallas absolutely makes zero sense. On top of that, that's just ruining a fan base right there. From Kansas City all the way down to Dallas, I don't know. It does not make a whole lot of sense. It makes no sense. You have Dallas fans. Yeah, exactly. What are you going to call them? The Dallas Chiefs? No, like, it sounds gross. It does. Like, people all along have always known, like, Dallas is the Cowboys. They're the Dallas Cowboys. Mm-hmm. It's not like you can just change that. I don't know. And it's not like they're relocating into a new location, like how, like what the A's are going to be doing, right? They're going into Vegas, where Vegas doesn't have an MLB team, right? It's not like that at all. I mean,
it's not a done deal.
Well, that's just what I'm saying, that like Vegas does not have an MLB team, right? It's not like how they're going into a city that does not have an NFL team, right? It's not like they're relocating into like Boise, Idaho, right? Because they don't have any pro team.
I would be happy with that.
That'd be cool.
I mean, that'd be cool. But in this case, though, it makes no sense. And yeah, I don't know. What are your guys' thoughts on that?
Stupid. I think it's dumb. Waste of not. I was going to say waste of a topic, but that sounds redundant. It's not a waste of a topic. I think it's a waste of a quote. That's a waste of taxpayer dollars to pay for a journalist to write that shit. Why would they move? They're not going to move. Like, I get it. Kansas City's not a great place. The Hunt family's cheap.
They just two-peated.
Yes, they do want. I could understand, but what are you going to do? You can't. This is the San Francisco Giants and the Oakland A's, just like Anthony was talking about. You can't have two rival teams, both competitive, competing in the same market. It doesn't work. The only way you do it is if you're the New York Giants and the New York Jets, who both play in New Jersey. Let's just forget. And they play at the same stadium. The Chargers and the Rams are the same way, but it doesn't work because in that sense, Kansas City fans, I don't think are going to follow them to Cowboys.
No.
It doesn't make sense.
No. They'll be pissed, you know, too. They've
been there forever.
Makes no sense. You just won back-to-back Super Bowls, too. Why would you
They've also got the loudest stadium in football.
That one's dumb.
I don't know. I don't know.
Feels, that owner seems like a fuck.
Feels low-key. Basis.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Hunt family's weird.
Yeah.
So. And like I said, yeah, it's just a trending topic going on right now. Obviously, it's not like it's going to be happening. But I don't know. I felt like that was
your best something trending.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying, right? It's a weird thing to be trending around when it's like a stupid trend to be going around right now, in my opinion. And I think we can all agree on that.
You know, there's another stupid trend that's going around right now. Anthony, how are we feeling about J.J. McCarthy at 3?
Wait. I was going to say this real quick. Brother. I was going to make a quick point on Dallas. A few weeks ago, we asked the question, what the fuck? Excuse my French, Dallas is doing in free agency. And so they interviewed Derrick Henry recently, and I want to say it was via a podcast called The Pivot. And he came out and he basically said, I knew once free agency started, I wanted to work something out with the Ravens if we could. And he said, even though I'm living in Dallas, and Dallas being a perfect situation as well, because we live there, we ain't got to move. But at the same time, Ravens, the history of it, and then talking to Ray Lewis, whatever. He said, he's like, I'd love to be a Raven, but I did definitely want to be a Cowboys fan. And he's like, He's frustrated they didn't reach out to him. And it just feels weird, man. I mean, they lose Tony Pollard, and it's like, okay, what's your backup, right? And, you know, you're going to run Deuce the whole time, you know? I don't know. It feels weird. You know, they could have paid him $20 million and they didn't. And I don't know. I literally don't know what Dallas has done this offseason. It confuses me It irks me. The fans should be disappointed. You know, I could understand the Niners not doing anything because they can't do anything financially. The Cowboys have money.
Yep.
They've got pockets deep.
I will say they are thinking about bringing back Zeke. I do know that.
Yeah, I saw that fell through. That's just,
I hope. I don't want the Patriots having Zeke anymore. I don't want that.
He was good.
He's your best running back. No, okay. No. Oh my God, no. Anyway,
he was.
Oh my God.
Literally, when Ramondre wasn't doing anything, Zeke came in and put up like.
What do you mean when he wasn't doing anything?
He had, well, that's a good point. He hasn't done anything his whole career.
Oh my God.
He just looked a little slower last year.
619 yards, Anthony. That is not doing anything.
To be honest with you, it kind of looked like he took Zeke's towel that he used to have when he was a little bit slower. He just looked a little slower this year.
And I don't want to say this. Ramondre Stevenson had less rushing yards last year than Zeke.
No.
Fuck.
And
that's not good.
And one.
I can't argue with stats.
Hold on. I'm just going to say this. Ramondre's yards per attempt. 156 attempts, 619 yards, four yard average, had 38 receptions and four touchdowns. Zeke, though, had 3.5 average, but he had 642 yards on 184 attempts, three touchdowns, but 51 receptions. I'm telling you, Zeke was.
Hey,
it was close. It's negligible.
Okay.
They're 50-50.
But Zeke is good. They are. I think Zeke is good.
He was still pretty good.
Comparatively to Ramondre, who's not.
Right.
I don't think he's that good.
Well, you know who's not good? J.J. McCarthy.
J.J. McCarthy.
And there's been some rumors that are going around that the Patriots might pick him at 3. Anthony, how are we feeling about this, bud?
Yeah.
I bet you're just licking your chops. White quarterback. From Michigan, you're probably drooling.
I mean, it could be a dream come true in some sense, but at the same time, I don't know. Like, I don't really know how I feel about that. Like, because I mean, realistically, the way I'm looking at it is any quarterback at the moment that we draft, I feel like we're just gonna fail them, like Mac. And in another case, I get he was a backup for a while, but like Bailey Zappi. Same thing, right? Like, I feel like we're just going to fail the next quarterback, and I don't want that for any new quarterback going into the NFL. I mean, that would suck to ruin their talent like that, and just, I don't know. The only thing, I feel like the only thing that the Patriots are really, like, looking at is the fact that, yes, Brady and JJ both went to Michigan, and I don't know, maybe that's, like, where their interest is kind of, they're kind of looking at it that way, which... I get, but I don't really get at the same time. But I feel like, in a sense, too, drafting JJ McCarthy at 3 is a little absurd. I would say take him the late first round, and that's fine. Mid to late first round, I'd say go for it for JJ McCarthy. But 3rd pick.
It's very absurd.
It's very absurd. I'd rather take Marvin Harrison Jr. I've been saying that.
Yep.
I'd much rather have that. But I don't know.
He would look cool in a Patriots jersey, too.
Okay. I'm
not JJ. Marvin Harrison Jr.
He would. Keaton, mm-hmm. You were going to say something.
Let's do the reader.
Just trying to hold back his 8.
It's not even hate, dude. Don't get me wrong. I think JJ is a good quarterback. This feels very reminiscent of 2017 with Mitch Trubisky. Playing one season at UNC, seemingly coming out of nowhere as just not really performing well when he was there, and then immediately jumping up the draft board and being taken with a first round pick and it not panning out. And don't get me wrong, I think JJ McCarthy is different in a lot of ways. He's fast, he's athletic, he can throw on the run, he throws with accuracy, the winning stats he can back up. But you know what? It just doesn't make sense. The guy goes into the draft, like, you know, mock drafts and all that, as a early second round, late first round pick. For some odd what reason, has a subpar draft combine. And I'm saying subpar, like he was the 5th or 6th best quarterback there. and the best word, you know, the Penix is Jaden Daniels at his pro day. Like, all those quarterbacks looked really good on their pro days and combines. JJ McCarthy looked decent, right? And immediately he just starts jumping up these draft boards, And we go from within 3 weeks, 4 weeks, to him now being projected as the second overall possible pick. They're talking about Washington taking him instead of Drake May, which Drake May is another thing. I don't know if he pans out well, but it's just weird, man. It's weird. It's weird that they're looking at this guy as a possible Hall of Fame caliber quarterback is why you draft a guy that high. And a quarterback like Jaden Daniels is sitting down there wondering, hey, am I going to get that pick? Or are the Raiders going to trade up for me? Or where do I fall on this list? Do I fall to 10? Do I fall to 15? And he is better than all four of them.
JJ over Jaden would be criminal.
But it is. But it's going to happen. That's the thing.
It will.
It's going to happen.
That's just a draft. It's crazy.
JJ McCarthy probably goes over Drake May. I think Washington takes JJ McCarthy. I think Drake May falls to New England. And if New England had any sense, they'd take Jaden Daniels. But I'm not a general manager. This has been my biggest issue with quarterbacks being drafted, especially this early on. I don't think New England should go for a quarterback. I don't think that's what they need right now. I think so many times NFL teams go for a quarterback because it's like, this guy could make our franchise. Carolina did the same thing last year. But you know what Carolina lacked? They lacked every other piece to develop a quarterback properly. It's the same thing that happened with Mac Jones. Mac Jones was really good in his rookie year, but they couldn't build around him. They couldn't provide him the optional pieces that he needed. So you get a bad offensive line with an inexperienced quarterback, and then you get a bad receiving core, bad tight ends, brutal running back system, and a defense that can't do anything. And it's a recipe for disaster. And I think if New England's serious, they should honestly just kind of sit and wait. They won't, but they should sit and wait, build their team properly, and then next year go for a quarterback. But then again, next year doesn't offer a lot in quarterback potential. So
yeah, that was the exact same thing I was going to say. I don't think they can because this quarterback draft class is one of the best we've ever seen, quote unquote.
Sure.
And they say that every year, but this one is stacked.
It is stacked. I mean, we're talking about Penix, and I'm a homer, but we're talking about Penix, who is also an extremely talented quarterback, and he's not even going to he's going to go into round two. Like, that's how stacked this draft class is, all across the board. But then again, at that point, you have a quarterback that you could utilize for the next season, and you have a plethora of weapons. You could get Marvin Harrison. You could get Romo Dunze. You could get a defensive edge. You could get an offensive lineman. I don't know. It's just one of these three teams is going to have a miss at the quarterback path because they couldn't develop. Inevitable. That is going to happen.
It's inevitable.
It is inevitable.
I think the safest pick there is Marvin Harrison Jr. as well. I've been saying that for a while, but I also think Jaden Daniels is clearly the second best quarterback in the draft class.
I don't think
it's a question. No. Caleb Williams Jaden is Daniels the best doesn't have quarterback pain I've ever seen come out of college, ever.
Doesn't
ever
have pain in nails.
Down-wise. I don't care. But
you clearly didn't watch Kellen Moore out of college.
Okay.
Queer.
Here we go. Wedaway. Well, speaking about Wedaway, the UFL has started, and it's pretty crazy. I'm not gonna lie. It's been very entertaining. Very, very entertaining. Keaton, I know you have this clip, but a kicker actually hit a 64-yarder. Do you want to pull that up?
Boy, do I. For those who don't know, 64...
And the crazy thing is, before... Yeah,
go ahead.
Yeah,
go
before ahead. Keaton shows this, 64 is a record in the NFL. He hit his practice shot, they iced him, and then this was the kick. I mean, dude.
Also, I just want to say, Jake Bates, that was his first field goal kick since high school. And he is, let's find out how old this old man is. Jake Bates. Hold on. Oh my God, if I could type, that'd be so sick. First kick out of high school. He is 24 years old. He graduated class of 2018.
6 years later.
Just like all of us.
With us.
6 years later.
Yeah,
his first professional kick. Yeah. Went to Arkansas. I think he kicked at Arkansas, but got injured. I don't know how it worked out, but yeah.
Anyways, I saw that kick and instantly thought, well, he's going to be an NFL kicker next year. He's going to get a contract. And that brought to my attention, how many players from the XFL or any other professional league have gone to the NFL and been relatively successful, right? So I started digging into it. Last year, over 100 players combined signed onto NFL rosters from the XFL and the USFL. Okay. This was just practice squad and like not the full roster where they're cut, but they signed to rosters. And then I continued to dig deeper and saw that there were only a couple that actually signed to the real squad or like the final roster. And that was Daniel Whelan, who was a former DC punter. I guess he's a punter for one of the teams. Pretty cool. And then I thought, okay, I guess the XFL is new, so we're going to give it a little bit of a break, right? But the XFL has been around for a while. They've done the league on and off for years now. So I looked it up. I'm like, who have been the most successful, you know, players that have come out of the XFL and gone into the NFL? Listen to this list. Josh Gordon, who during his time was one of the most talented wide receivers before he got
to Maryland. Shout out Seattle Sea Dragons.
Yep. Taylor Heinicke, who has been a crazy, I'm not going to say success story, but story in the NFL. Tommy Maddox, who's kind of a NFL starter that played in the early 2000s, talked about a little bit, not by much, but he was decent. And then Jeff Garcia, who's a Hall of Fame quarterback for the 49ers. So that's kind of crazy to me. And then we obviously know PJ Walker, who had that insane throw last year or 2 years ago. So I wanted to dig deep into that. And it's kind of cool that, you know, a lot of these professional leagues are starting to get at least a little bit of showing and popularity. Like, I think it's cool. Like, I think it's a decent idea. And if they can continue to develop it and they have similar talents to NFL, why not continue making them? I don't know if you guys watch the highlights. What do you guys think about them?
I'll be honest. I did not watch a lot of UFL. Been kind of a busy week. I have heard that it's been a success overall, though. Good viewership across the board.
I just saw clips. I didn't watch like the actual game. I just thought it was cool. Like, if they're actually gaining popularity, you might as well like continue doing it.
Yeah. I mean, we'll see if it works out too. We've been through the spring football leagues for about 4 years now, and none of them have been successful. So maybe this is a change. You know, less competition, so it's only one league now and not two. But I don't know. It's just feels like when it's not football season, there's three other sports to watch, and basketball is coming to playoffs. Hey, look, hockey, the Masters is this weekend. Hockey's hitting playoffs. Baseball just kicked off, right? So, I don't know. Just stuff to run spring football when it's not established.
Right. So, we'll see. My last topic is just breaking down Justin Fields and his I don't want to say rise to the NFL, but his path to the NFL, because it's been crazy. I saw actually a video about this, and it kind of like played off the video that we did with the 2021 quarterback class. Justin Fields obviously has been one of the more popular ones out of that class. He went to high school, obviously from 2014 to 2018. He was the second best recruit behind Trevor Lawrence, which has kind of been his second. He's always been second fiddle to Trevor Lawrence, which is kind of crazy. He's a great college starter, and he was actually third in Heisman voting for 2019 and seventh in 2020, right? Taken 11th to the Bears in 2021. He started in the NFL. His stats were not very good, and I'll look those up just to read them out. But in 2021, he had a 59% completion percentage, 1,870 yards, 7 touchdowns, 10 interceptions, not a great rookie year. 2022, he had a 60.4 completion percentage, 2,242 yards, 17 touchdowns, 11 interceptions, a little bit better. And then 2023, we obviously saw it was pretty similar to his 2022 year, right? So then he gets traded to be a backup for the Steelers. And my question is to you guys, is this more of a mentorship? Like, are we watching Russell Wilson becoming a mentor to Justin Fields? Because I'm breaking down Justin Fields' his career and his path to the NFL, and it really just does not make a lot of sense why he hasn't panned out. And I think to myself, it's not a character thing. I don't think Justin Fields has a bad character, but it's almost like
a great person.
Yeah, exactly. It's almost like he needs development. So do you guys think that the mentorship is going to help Justin Fields in Pittsburgh?
I do. Yeah. I'll start. I think just being honest, we saw this again, homer pick. We saw this with Geno Smith. Sat behind Russell Wilson, understood how to kind of watch an offense be run at a well-oiled level, and got to kind of understand the characteristics of how a quarterback should operate, especially one with you know high praise and high talent. And it turned out it was a success, and you know Geno for the better part of 3 years is our franchise quarterback, and I think Justin Fields has all the intangibles. I think he's one of the most talented quarterbacks in the NFL. Just in what he can do. However, I think coming into the league, and this is another thing that I kind of complained about, I think he went to a team that was severely undermanned and not capable of developing a proper quarterback. And I think he's a system quarterback. I don't think he can go into any team and win. Most rookies cannot do that. And so him going under Russell Wilson with a good coach like Mike Tomlin, who's dealt with great quarterbacks in his past, should definitely help him understand how to properly run an offense. And I think it just gives him a new change of scenery. Chicago's a tough place to play. The crowd is very volatile. It's a lot of pressure mm-hmm. to succeed, even though they have no success sustained. I think it's just like a breath of fresh air. There's no expectations for him to perform. Finally, he can get his head right and understand where he needs to fit in an NFL offense.
That's fair.
Yeah. Honestly, there's not much for me to say about it. I agree with Keaton 100% with everything that he said.
That's fair.
Not much cool for me to say after what Keaton just said.
Sweet. Well, do you guys have any more topics? Because that was my last one.
I'm good.
I think
we covered everything. Yeah.
Sweet.
Yeah.
That was a good episode. Well, jam-packed. Yeah, absolutely. We got through it pretty quickly. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, that was time went by fast, actually. So that's it. Thanks for tuning in.
Quickly when you're in New York.
Yes. Hold on. Sorry, say it one more time.
That happens typically when you're in New York. The
time flies.
Yeah, time flies by.
It's just when you're
it's just one of those things. It's like vacation time. It's like 5 o'clock somewhere.
Kinda, yeah. I mean, when you're in the Amazon, the Amazon yacht, you know, it's just like sometimes, like you just forget that you have like responsibilities in life, right?
Yeah.
So you're just, it's kind of like leisure.
You exist outside of it.
Exactly. It's like I'm like outside of a plane of time and space. Like I'm just here, bro. Like
interstellar,
you know?
Yeah.
Like I'm in like a fourth dimension, right? Me and Jeff Bezos. So
that wraps up today's episode, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you guys for watching and continue to watch our YouTube videos and our podcast in general, whether if you're watching it or listening to it on Apple Podcast or on Spotify. Please continue to like the videos, comment, and if you haven't yet, please subscribe. We love the subscribers. We love it. Keep it coming. And we'll catch you next week on next week's episode. Thank you all.
Later.